Elegant Sea Urchin is a continuous therapeutic outlet, written, produced, and presented by Studio Swoon as part of the Greater Swooncraft Creative. It would mean a lot if you shared or supported us. Head over to elegantseaurchin.xyz for more. Before the program starts, we've been instructed to share a message from your celestial neighbors. They want you to stop lying on your back and or looking up when you masturbate. Have you forgotten that they observe in different wavelengths, rendering walls and ceilings meaningless? We have collectively weirded them out with the looks and faces we make. They thank you in advance for accommodating their needs. Hey, you, listening. Thanks. And enjoy. We were at Grimsmith, waiting at the cross. Jones had told us to wait for our transport while he scuttled off somewhere. I can't believe you or him, Faye, Yule said. I fiddled with the Wavio, preparing it for Dame Marin's cast. We didn't even go to the banks to see the Weeligs, I reminded her. This is the first real burg we've been in, and the dithering dooks won't let us look around. I'm pretty sure Yule wanted to visit Taylor Hollows. It's not the end of the smogs. Sina had a screwdriver and a little contraption. And you, Sina, you sound just like him. A delightful beg-thucking non-elder. Please, whisper more pleasantries to me, Yule. She rolled her eyes, breaking her attention from the contraption. I asked her about it before Yule took her invitation. Sina explained, My dad has me taking over the business in a few years. She was lost in thought for a moment, seemingly unable to find where she had the screwdriver inserted just seconds before. I'm able to go on this trip because my first task is to figure out how to solve these fractal gadget boxes. What does that one do? I don't know yet. Ahem, Yule cleared her throat. Sina looked up and saw a mild panic in my face. Oh, don't worry, it's not dangerous. These first few engineering puzzles usually, well, they only have bells and whistles. Nothing dimension colliding.
I was quiet, and not really reassured by her words, so she added,
Nothing to send you to a different dimension either.
I looked up from the inactive Wavio I was anxiously tuning.
Yeah, I try to catch most of your casts since the championship. I felt bad that you never got that interview, and thought I'd see if you were worth it. Found out you were a lot different than, or... Well, you see the sonar image.
I heard. I felt better. This thrumming static. It's not thrumming, I'm just trying to be dramatic. It's humming. That's not smog-laying prose, it's nearly someone else talking. In the waves on Dame Marin's casts, I don't know what else to say about it, but it's annoying now. I want to hear about the new chords being laid to improve our lives, but I couldn't because as she was getting to their use, the static hum talking came to a crescendo and lasted for minutes, smogs, and when I asked the Dooks about it, he says that whatever's happening in Dame's fragment of reality doesn't affect us. But how can that be true when I hear her casts? When I can find my way to the stores she promotes? I was on Yule's side when 2/7 had passed and we were still waiting for the Dooks. Nothing had arrived to pick us up. Beyond the cross, a voice had been going on for some time, so I told my urchin friends, I'm gonna take a walk.
Me too, said Yule.
Honestly?
Sina sighed and said she'd stay there.
Yule and I winded through the canals and found a small group gathered. They were looking up at the lamp, and there atop it was a man, wrapped around it, talking what sounded like nonsense at first, but we did come in the middle.
It's like sediment. What foundation made your hollow? The cruel eldritch have left us again. And how long do you think your foundation will last? We've all read the doctrine from our learning's years. You, fiery-haired urchin in the back, what do you know about the ancient buildings?
Yule glanced at me. They built with mortar? lumber and iron.
Precisely. And who?
People?
Yes. Our ancestors made on just, well, without the Eldritch.
Some people in the crowd began murmuring. The hair on the back of my neck stood up.
If we could do it before, we can do it now. The Eldritch have only been giving us vague directions.
When was the last 5 millennia?
Not us, but the tendrils. And you know what? There's no proof.
The murmuring got louder. You're wrong. The lamp flickered to light. The sky wasn't even dithering, and I saw his face, and something behind it seemed to wriggle. His eyes a violet on the cusp of higher vision. How am I wrong?
Go about spouting such urchin.
The Eldritch are still whispering to us. I've heard them. Yule stepped closer to me. Yule muttered something.
We've got to go. Them, did you?
The sky seemed to dim, the sickly yellow light of the lamp illuminating odd shapes and casting strange shadows. I'm a tendril in training. Yule grabbed my hand. All of the crowd turned to face us, strange, piercing eyes like starlight being their only features. I hear them too. And if you keep rippling like this, then I'll have to.
We're only concerned with Knox.
His face was familiar. And then, Kay? Is that you? Those gathered, morphed with the flickering light cast by the pillar. How did it get so far away? And to my horror, the shape of the mob expanded, the pinpoints of their shining eyes amalgamating to two single points, stars piercing right through me. And I fell. Leagues of dimensions torrenting around me. I was on the bank of the Augur Lake. Yule had my hand. She looked concerned. Faye, I think the heat got to you. She handed me a shroom chew. And what remained of the molasses she was sipping. I told myself I'd keep my mind out of the rapids. But that was... I looked across the bank. The weeligs and their fuzzy, spiny, pill-shaped bodies lurked right below the shallow of the viscous lake. Many of them wriggling and screwing, gulping up over the surface, spinning the atmosphere into the gunk that spans several kilometers. The gunk that keeps most people away. Honestly, it smells like rotten tarp and burnt sugar. I found Yule's eyes. Are you okay? I told her I was. We didn't have time to deal with the rapids of my mind. The day was dithering, the sky was becoming tangerine. We had to meet the Dux and Sina to catch our track cab. Yule begrudgingly jetted with me as I finished the last of the molasses, giving a silent thanks to Farazine and Heather.
Just in time, merchants, said Jones.
Sina stood beside him.
Last track cab. It's gonna be rough going by smogs, so I hope the day to explore Grimsmith was worth it.
I climbed aboard, resting my pack under my head. I watched the rippling tangerine of the dying day. Then at the corner of my eye, slightly obscured by the swirling smogs, there was a ray of light refracted perfectly in the distance, in the direction our tracks were laid. I know we're on the right path to Lunatha. Jones had me carve our path on the charts. But he seemed hesitant about some of my decisions. He told me that when he explained our route, Sina objected in a similar manner to him. It's all mostly direct paths, and some of my decisions, the more questionable ones, were to see some wildlife I've only read of. I know that there's a lot I don't know about all these places we'll pass through. Now I wonder if we'll get to our destination or get lost in the horrid shadows across our tangerine speck. In the spare time the Dooks gave us, I found a hollow that sold me his newer book, Expiration of the Smogs. The denizens of Grimsmith seemed very fond of the Dooks. The uncle all but wanted to give me the book. Right here. Greet a tendril and no hell. Leave a youth and no pollution. This is how his take begins. What I got through was much the same of what he said before. Jones worries about the smogs and how our lives will change if they're gone. With an overabundance of light, we'll likely get smothered. There's something about the tempo of his words. The Dooks comes off as anxious in the first part that I've read. It's almost like this isn't written for common denizens, but for the tendrils, or Eldritch themselves. But how could his words reach them if they don't take any Dooks seriously? I could see him making nullship in his travels and studies. He wouldn't be the first Dooks to do so. And even if that's the case, what if his point is that it'll be too late by the time he reaches that point? There's more to this. I'll let you listeners hear my ripples when I get through more of his writing. When I finally set the text down, before us, on our path, the smogs were too thin to obscure the luring light growing on the horizon. Since I couldn't rest without visions of stars plaguing my mind, I took the rail spike from my thigh, very careful to keep it a little quiet. I etched into the wood frame of my bunk in the track cab, love, not loathe.